Okay.
And they've been emailed to everybody.
Okay, we will call the meeting to order, and we'd like to note that this meeting is being streamed, so just know that we have an external audience as well. And we want to welcome you all this morning. We're going to spend the first part of our morning here talking about continuing our discussion from yesterday about tuition. And we're going to start by turning the time over to Associate Commissioner Kimberly Henry, who has four additional slides based upon the discussions we had yesterday that she'll go over with us. So, Kimberly?
So good morning, everyone. Just a few pieces of information that you asked to have me follow up on. I just want to share that information with you again. As we look at these slides, and I think the battery is dead on that.
And for the Regents' information, Kimberly emailed these slides to you this morning as well. So.
Yes, this should be in the Diligent folder. Melissa placed them there this morning. And can we turn the lights down? So this slide was shared with you yesterday. This looks at the impact to students with respect to the tuition increase being proposed and the student fees. As you can see, the first column represents the current rate for the 2018-19 student tuition and fees. Again, this is the sticker price. This does not necessarily reflect what students are actually paying, but is what we publish, and this is what we're ranked against nationally as well. The second column represents the student fee increase for the upcoming year for the two semesters combined. So you can see for each of the percentage increases that that represents. The next column after that is the dollar impact to students based on the tuition increase proposal on an annual basis and the institution percentage proposal that you heard from each campus yesterday. So starting with a 3.2% for the University of Utah down to 4.2% for USU Eastern. When you combine the two together, the next column shows what the annual impact would be of the increase, what the dollar impact is, and the total increase for the student that they would experience as it relates to both tuition and fees from the published rate perspective. You can see when you combine student and fees, those percentage increases from tuition tend to go down slightly because the base is larger, but you can see that impact for students. Hopefully, if you've had any questions about what this is and those pieces, you can refer back to the agenda item. This gives you a general sense of the student impact. The next slide, this is the one that was requested with respect to where are we at with average tax funds as well as the average tuition per FTE. Now, this takes into account, and all of this is estimated, because one of the things that we do not know is how many students we will have at the end of FY19, the annualized number, and how many we will have in FY20. So the institutions have provided their best estimate on what they believe their annualized FY19 number is, and then taking the tuition and the operating budgets, the tax funds for that, dividing it by the FTE, you can see on average, this again combines all of the lower division, upper division, graduate all together. This is just an average amount. The average tax funds per FTE in FY19 for tuition, tax funds, and total funds. And then if we hold enrollment constant, this assumes no growth. If we grow, those percentages will decline on the other side because that money will be stretched among more students. But you can see what the average estimated tax funds are for each of the institutions after the new dollars that flow in, and what the estimated average tuition per FTE is after if the institution proposals were accepted. And you can see the total of that together. Questions on this slide?
I just wanted to make the point, though, that this is why you need to watch comparing across the institutions in Utah. Certainly University of Utah includes all the support, the special programs, the things that are funded specifically for research at the U. USU, that also includes all of the funding, not only for the research, but for extension. And so your tax funds that are given to at least USU would be higher because of those other two responsibilities.
Yeah, and this also includes like the medical school into that equation as well in terms of instruction that happens at the institutions. So there is a natural tendency for the legislature, and rightly so, in terms of putting money into the research institutions. They realize that in order to get that benefit from the research dollars on the outside, they need to invest on the inside as well. You can see the four research or the four regional institutions, they all are fairly similarly funded with respect to the tax funds per FTE in a broad sense. I mean, it's not beautiful, it's not perfect, but it is kind of lumped together in a fashion. And then you can see our two community colleges. Though they are receiving more tax funds per FTE, they're not where they need to be with respect to the tuition to tax fund relationship. Great. Awesome. So this slide is one that was also shared with you yesterday. This is the actual revenue estimate impact. So when you look at this slide, you'll see the tax fund and operating revenue budgets, the new total tax funds, the estimated performance funds that institutions will earn. The reason why I've separated this out is because the board has not reviewed the allocation nor approved it. So it is an estimate, and this is what the institutions have used in terms of determining their tuition increases. The estimated new tuition increase based on the institution proposal, so all of the information that was shared with you yesterday, what the new operating budget would be. Between tax funds and tuition, we're estimating that an additional $111 million will come into the system, $96 million coming from the tax funds piece, $21 million coming from tuition, and you can see the total revenue percentage increase when you combine the two factors together. And then finally, this was a request from Chair Simmons in terms of looking at a little more detail about the cost per award. This only takes back and looks at the last 5 years. Now, I've asterisked the University of Utah, Dixie State, and Utah Valley University specifically because those are institutions which we would call in transition. The University of Utah with their Pac-12 and moving into that arena and becoming a stronger player in that arena. You've got Dixie State University, who is an emerging institution from regional state college to university status. So we would expect that we would see some increases in investment in that institution. And you've got Utah Valley University that's on the tail end kind of their immersion or their emerging status into university. You can see over time what the annual, and again, this is the very simplistic take all of what you spend in 1 year divided by the number of awards that you offer, and the average cost of what that would look like, certificate to graduate degree. And you can see the average annual percentage change, what the average annual CPI percentage change was for that respective year, that 5 year period, 1.1, and the average annual HEPI increase. When you look at the system as a whole, we're in between the CPI change and the HEPI change, which would be expected. And then you can see, depending on the institution, if they had years where they've increased the number of awards, the efficiency rate and the cost per award actually declines. And over that 5 year period of time, you can see some are doing better than others with respect to the number of graduations, but it also depends on when the students and when the growth actually happens at those respective institutions.
So Kimberly, does that still include the tax funds? That's still including tax
funds. This is everything, yes.
So again, I know I'm saying it the same thing again, but it's not that USU and the University of Utah's cost per award is so high when you bring in the tax funds.
Actually, Noel, that's not the case in this.
Because
this
taxes would be a source of financing, not a cost.
This is the cost of expense of instruction. So this is excluding your public service. This is excluding your research dollars. This comes right from the cost
but
study.
Is it including the dollars we get from the state?
Not for your ag centers or
okay,
like
how
that.
Did you pull those out?
So information that's submitted by the institutions to us in the cost study, the annual cost study,
right,
looks direct at expenses associated with instruction. option. So this is more of a true picture of what it's costing.
All right.
And to have the institutions, the research institutions, cost more than the other institutions, that's not necessarily a bad thing. The faculty level, the
right.
salaries associated okay. with PhD faculty members versus some of the master's prepared, those types of things, you will start to see that difference, and as well as some of the programs that are offered at the research schools that aren't offered at the others.
Okay.
So this is a reflection. It does not include what... the other elements, but this would be kind of that average. And this is part of the metric that we will be monitoring every year that you adopted in January. The intent of the metric, though, is that we try to come in somewhere in that 95% of the HEPI increase, except for a couple of the institutions, which are the institutions in transition, and we'll look at that over time. So this kind of this helps to demonstrate that our institutions are being effective with their resources. They're doing more to get students to complete, and those students that need some infrastructure and support, you'll see that those costs will go up, and then you'll start to see them round the curve and come back down. UVU is a prime example of that, where they received some initial funding in that 2014-15 year with the acute equity dollars, and the growth that has happened, and now that they're able to start graduating more of those students, you're going to start to see those numbers and that cost per award decline for them. So, and that is what I have for you this morning. Questions?
Any questions about those? Let's see. And you've downloaded those to Diligent.
Correct.
Do you know where they are from? Because I couldn't find them.
They're in the Resource Center.
Likely. Oh, maybe they're in the,
So look in the Resource Center. It's called March 29.
So if we go to, it's a separate, it's, okay, so it's not in today's meeting materials. If you go to the main menu, you'll see a list that says My Board's Current Books, Archive Books, and it says Resource Center. And so that's where you're going to find that, I believe.
So as you deliberate, I'm just going to leave the impact to the student slide on the screen, so you understand what's being proposed, both from a student tuition fee perspective, as well as the institution proposals, and the net impact on students.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. So I think what we'd like to try to do this morning is continue our discussion from yesterday, and then and generally arrive at what we'd like to. If we have any changes, if we can figure those out this morning, then we'll formulate those into a resolution that will actually come back to us this afternoon, so that we can be a little more efficient this afternoon. If that makes sense. So with that, let me open the floor to any discussion about the tuition proposals. Okay. Everybody's wanting to kind of look at these numbers for just a minute. There we go. Are those of you who are looking for these materials finding them? Maybe it's just me. Maybe just to tee it up, start this to kick this off. Is there any thoughts about the process? I'll offer just a starting thought. I think that we could probably be a little more effective with this if we were to formally combine the discussion of tuitions and fees into a single presentation. Because I think that's how we, certainly how students are going to think about it. A fee is tuition as far as students, whatever we call it, it's money out of their pocket. So I think if we were to perhaps next year bundle this into a single discussion about tuition and fees, I think that a lot of presentations yesterday kind of took that form. But unless you have thoughts to the contrary, I think that's what we maybe propose next year.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah. Yes, Regent Jones.
I'm a little nervous, if you will, about putting this kind of information out just as numbers without the context behind it. There are so many nuances in each one of these, whether it's space or tuition, and to have someone look at a chart like this and walk away thinking, you know, our universities, our colleges are taking advantage of or not, you know, using the data or not using the tuition properly. I believe that we need to be transparent, but I believe that we're not communicating the nuances that every one of our institutions do, as I think amazing institutions of higher learning. And I just wonder if it's something that we ought to discuss about how we communicate those different nuances within each of our great institutions.
Yeah, thanks for the comment. Any thoughts about that or otherwise? Yeah.
Yeah, I think as far as how we communicate it, it is a challenge because this is a lot of complicated information. When we to make sure you're all clear on this, though, when we provide you as a board information, it is public information. We don't have an option. But then how we communicate that to provide that context, that is then becomes the big challenge, I think. But we can't share this with you without it being public.
I think the issue, though, is making sure that we understand sort of the some of the nuances. The tendency clearly is to look at these numbers and try and benchmark institutions against each other, and I think we'll want to increasingly benchmark them against external peers. But you need to, you know, I think what you're suggesting, Regent Jones, is understanding some of the strengths and weaknesses of any given set of numbers, because the raw numbers sometimes don't tell all the story.
So, Chair, if I could just follow up on that. I mean, just as an example, I have the delight of on the R&R team at Dixie State University. And when you go down there and you see the space that they are having to deal with and make academic classrooms from, I mean, that is something that the normal person looking at, you know, when we look at space utilization wouldn't know. I guess I have more of a problem putting them juxtaposed against each other. I mean, if we could look at some on their own and understand their nuances, and I think we've tried to do that to some degree, but I don't know, I just feel a little uncomfortable with some of these raw numbers against each other.
To second Regent Jones' comments, I think there could be a perceived perception out there by those that don't understand the numbers. I am so impressed with every single one of our institutions and the core competencies that they have, which I think is the tremendous value we create in Utah, is that each institution has its core competencies that they do exceptionally well. And when sometimes a chart like this can give us that feeling that we want to all be exactly the same, when we really don't want to all be the exact same, because you can't also equate value the same. And I don't think one has more value than the other value. I think it's different value. And that's very hard to communicate. So I would just, I guess, second what's been said about how we present these kind of things to make sure that it doesn't take away from the value that is so inherently there with every one of our institutions.
to reflect some of the comments, each of the institutions that we have has a different goal, has a different mission. I agree that this chart does put all of them as equal institutions, offering equal services, equal certificates or degrees. And when you compare, yes, it does show that. And Chair Simmons, as you suggested, maybe we can compare institutions that are equivalent rather than, if I were to look at that, USU and University of Utah have a totally different mission as compared to Salt Lake Community College or Dixie. Grouping them based on their charters, based on their missions, rather than as a single slide which reflects, which tends to reflect, I should say, that all institutions are equal. So I think comparing equivalent mission institutions and then maybe the research institutions with their peer universities, that would be a better reflection.
Okay, thank you. I think that's the direction we're certainly going to be increasingly headed. Yes, President Hoffman.
I don't know if there's other comments about that. I was just going to switch gears a little bit. So, if there, okay. So the other thing I might suggest from the process is that I took great notes yesterday from my presidential colleagues who had slides that I wish I had included. And I wonder if we could create a template almost so that you're seeing similar information. It will be very different based on mission. But for instance, President Mortensen's or Biff's slide about what came through the channel in terms of institutional needs versus what was appropriated is that's telling. And we all have that process and we didn't all include it. So perhaps we could, you and the president, the regents and the presidents could come up with kind of critical information that we should all be sharing in a template format. So it's a bit similar.
Yeah, again, I think that would be a really appropriate subject for the Council of Presidents working with the commissioner and staff to do that.
Regent Wright. I really liked the conversation we had at the end of yesterday's meeting about spending more time spreading out the process so there's more transparency, there's more time for students to weigh in, which is really what this is all about, for taxpayers to weigh in since there's so many taxpayer dollars at stake. They deserve to have that input, and just allowing the presidents and the Board of Trustees and everybody to do this in a much slower, more methodical way so that we get it right. One of the things that I have concern about right now is I don't think we have been presented with the budgets of the various institutions, so it's hard to look at revenue as a part of an overall budget when all we're doing here is talking about revenue and we're not having the discussion of how that revenue piece fits into the overall model in a budget. And so I'm not sure if the commissioner's office was provided with those budgets by the presidents and the institutions. I'm sure they were. That's not in our materials. I believe that it should be. And I believe if we had access to staff and more time in the commissioner's office to go through those, we could be more comfortable with how the revenue component plays in to the overall budget for the institution instead of just coming in and putting a chart up of revenue and comparing ourselves to other states where some get more taxpayer dollars than we do, some get less. So the comparisons, as I said yesterday, for me, I struggle with those because I just don't think it's an apples to apples comparison. And at the end of the day, I think too, just in closing, I really appreciate the slide that Dr. Henry put up because it shows that really what we're talking about here is a 6% increase and not the 1.5 or the 2 or the 2.5 that we were talking about yesterday. There's other money coming in, taxpayer money, and it's a significant amount of money, $100 million, and now we're asking students to come up with an additional $20 million in addition to that. If this really was our best year for appropriations from the legislature, we should, in my opinion, be able to figure out how to not ask students to step up. And I'll just close by, you know, a story. I know students who are struggling. I know families who are struggling to pay for higher education. I know students who are working, going to school. It's taking 6 to 8 years because they can't afford it. I know parents who feel like they can't send their kids to school because they can't afford it. I know other people who have crushing debt that they'll probably never get out of, working. They've got $250,000 of debt. I sat with one of them recently. So it concerns me that there's so much state money coming in, and then at the same time we're going back to students asking for more, and we should look at the totality of the money coming in, not just the portion of the tuition increase, and then making sure that we look at the total budgets. I think that is really important to understanding what really needs to happen.
Thanks very much. On this topic?
I guess one thing I thought about, because you heard me yesterday, I just think the timing is just, I just think it's difficult. And I think that the needs of the institutions shouldn't really be determined on the funding that's given by the legislature. How can I say that right? I mean, it's just the institutions all have needs. And I appreciate what President Williams showed. You know, they showed tremendous need, and then how they had to get to what they were going to ask for. And I think kind of like what Tom said is that, I mean, these decisions on how much tuition should be raised come after the determination of what the legislature is going to give. Were those same needs the same before they knew how much money the legislature was going to give? And that, I'm a little troubled by that. And I just think, you know, everybody has needs, and we need to say what those needs are. And if we get funded for them, that is really, really good. But anyway, so I do struggle with the timing of this, even though I really got a lot of information yesterday and really appreciate what the institutions did.
Let me ask Kimberly, would you provide some information on what do we receive from the budget? Oh, she's over here now. Okay, sorry.
I'm going to go hide in the bathroom.
Looking over there. Like she disappeared.
So I'm curious as to what context we're talking about with revenue budgets versus expense budgets. The institutions have not fully developed their FY20 budgets for the upcoming year because they're still in the process of figuring out what the revenue side of the equation is to be able to do the expenses. In the Finance and Facilities Committee, we will go over the FY18 total kind of operating budget, where you will see revenues and expenses associated with it, and we'll go over the financial statements. So I'm not sure what additional information you would like to see with respect to budget might be as we look at the tuition increases, but we get uses, but we don't know the total picture because it hasn't been decided yet.
Yeah, maybe you could talk about just the budget cycle and kind of
So the budget cycle, when we normally see what the institution's new FY20, the legislative session, so the legislative session ends March 14th or 15th or 12th, that particular week. The tuition revenue piece kind of gets decided, and then the institutions spend the next 2 months trying to figure out what the July 1 budget will look like, and then after that July 1 time frame, our office actually collects the preliminary budget information that we can take a look at it, and then we bring that information. We have reports about that. So we don't see any reports from the institution about their new year budget until the new year kind of comes into play, because they're still deciding right to the very last moment about how the dollars will be spent. There is, you know, there's the base ongoing kind of component of the budgets aren't dramatically changing, but where the new dollars flow into it, that's what's unknown until they finish their budget process. And institutions with their shared governance, with their planning and budget assessment kind of process, it's time intensive for them once they have the final picture of their available revenue going into the new fiscal year. So we see that in July, August, and then, of course, we start our cycle with FY21 budget at the same period of time. So the institutions are being pressured to do current year and the next year simultaneously, and so that's what our challenge is.
Chair Simmons?
Yes.
So,
there we go. The budgets are incredibly complicated, and I think to try and have a meeting where you're going to cover all the budgets is not really practical. I mean, we do, particularly in the Finance and Facilities Committee, spend more time talking about the budgets, and, you know, you get the budgets of each institution. But, you know, you're looking at a big pile of financial statements. So who is really going to take the time or could understand without somebody there instructing them of what each one of these things means? I think one of the more productive things that's happened in recent years, or they've been, I guess, stepped up in recent years, is kind of the deep dive that's been taking place at each of the institutions. Because, you know, the University of Utah budget, I mean, there are sources of revenue coming from so many different sources, and they're going out in so many different ways, and they have different restrictions in each of the different categories. And it is amazingly complex. And so we've taken a deep dive day at each institution and set up a separate meeting to go around and look in detail at the budget and ask questions and really understand how the money is being spent. And I think that's the most productive way to do it. To try and cover them all in one day is going to be a superficial exercise where you really can't get into the depth of what's happening. So, I mean, I don't underestimate the significance of this, but I just think practically it'd be a hard task to do that all at once.
I guess I think too personally one of the things I think we have to remember is that you have boards of trustees. They have really, I mean, they're closer to the ground and ought to be doing a lot of that at the institutional level. I tend to believe that what we could benefit from is more exposure to how does each institution, what is its profile relative to institutions with similar missions, and to make sure that we're kind of in the ballpark, that understand how efficient do we look in terms of the total cost of delivering awards relative to a peer group that of carefully selected institutions that mirror the mission of each of these institutions? What does state support look like at other institutions relative to our own system? Within that peer group, I mean, it's really. There's some kind of 40,000 foot level kinds of analyses I think that we can continue to refine that will help us through this process. But I personally also think that this is a major great first step. I mean, we don't have the luxury of being able today to say let's put this on the back burner and go study it for a few months. I mean, we've got institutions sitting here that have to get this published so that students can make decisions and enroll. So we're going to have to come to a conclusion today. But I think this is really good input in terms of some of the things that we can continue to refine as we go forward. And yes?
In terms of the peer comparisons, again, the data book, we publish peer comparisons for each of the respective institutions. Table 8 in Tab E looks at each institution as tuition rate is compared to their peers. And then in Tab M, there is comparisons regarding how much they spend versus their peers, how much tax funds they have versus their peers. So the information is available. It just was not part of this presentation, and we can incorporate that moving forward.
So I'd like to respond to Regent Wright's comments about the increase that we got from the legislature. And yes, there was lots of money that was given to us, but there's only two pots of that money that have not been allocated specifically for initiatives. That's the performance funding at $27 million and the engineering initiative at $5 million. If you look, which we actually received something, higher education appropriations right after the legislative session, very, very specific projects. For instance, you know, the $1.3 million that we got to lower the tuition for CTE. There's money for the U to do Safe UT app. There's, SUU got the money for the three-year degree. And so very, very specific. Some were allocated across the institution. like, there was some money for athletics. There was some money for teacher education initiatives under bills. And so you could see that. In that also is O&M for new buildings, also was in that $100 million that we got. So again, there's not a lot that is available without restrictions, but we can certainly show you that.
Is that maybe something that we can improve on? I mean, really, if this is about students and we're getting all this money, shouldn't some of that money be allocated to instruction? And I think that's the point, is there's all this money flowing into the system, and it's important to look and say, okay, where do we want that money to go? So I agree with you, and it did come with those restrictions, but maybe it's time to say, hey, we want more of that to end up over here, and so we don't end up in the situation where right. we're forced to decide whether or not we need to ask students to add more money on. And I really do believe, Mr. Chairman, that the budget is an important part of this, and I know it's complex. I know there's no way we're going to do it in one day, and it's a big responsibility. Complexity, though, isn't an excuse for breach of fiduciary duty. If that's the duty we have, we're going to have to figure out, and with all due respect to everyone here, how to do that, how to get the right expertise, to get the right staff, to go through the budgets and really understand one really important thing, and that one thing for me is, where did the money go? Where did the money go? And mm-hmm. so we can understand where it went. So when the next year we're asked for more, we can honestly and candidly say, okay, we know where last year's money went. Therefore, we can talk about future money, and we can continue that process so that there's accountability. Complexity is hard. It is hard. And these are intractable questions right. sometimes. But we have to be able to understand the budget to be able to understand what we're doing on the revenue part.
So I totally agree. I want to just make two points. The USHE budget that we proposed had many of the initiatives that I know we're doing now on this tuition increase, because we didn't get the USHE budget. Instead, we got these very specific things. Yeah. The second thing is, I would be more than happy to come back in the summer and show you how this plus the other assigned money was used. We will know this summer what, it's exactly, we know what our revenue is. Then I hold budget hearings at the university mm-hmm. for all the colleges and vice presidents. And we'll have this all done by July 1st.
And that's what I think I love the most, Mr. Chairman, is that if that year really ends in July, we can really start to begin then to look at what yes. happened to the money in the previous year. And that's why I advocated earlier, I believe in extending the process and taking as much time as we can, because if we're looking at where the money went from the previous year, we'll do a better job of allocating money or asking for money in future years. And I'll just close by just saying, had I known... yesterday I said I would have loved to have had all this discussion before the legislative session, because then we would have known exactly what we needed, and we would have seen what the legislature done. And once we knew what they had done, then we could come back and adjust based on what we got or didn't get. But what's happened now is we've got a whole bunch of money, hundreds of millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars of taxpayer money. And now we're asking for the students to pay for more on top of that. And I just wonder if we'd have had this exercise done before, what the difference would look like. And maybe it wouldn't have been different, but it would have been an interesting exercise. I just think we owe it to the taxpayer and to these students that I know are struggling to pay, even in Utah, where it's very affordable and we're doing a great job. I know several instances in my own life, and I think we owe it to them to make sure that the money we're getting, to President Cockett's point, is going to our core mission. If we're getting money and it's not going to our core mission, then we need to reevaluate what we're asking for and make sure that it is, so that then we don't have to come in here and ask students to pay for even more. And if I had known that we were going to need 20 more million, I might have gone to the legislature and advocated for take 20 million less from, you know, building new buildings and put it toward our core mission, toward the things we really need, so students don't have to pay more. But instead, everyone in this room, or a lot of people in this room, what they're advocating for more taxpayer dollars for buildings. And now here we are saying, hey, student, You know, we know you're working two jobs and that you're extending 6 years and you're going into debt or whatever. We want you to pay more. And that makes me uncomfortable. So I think it's been a great process. I think it can improve dramatically. I appreciate the presidents, the institutions. I respect the Board of Trustees. My point is that if we spread it out, we ask for a little bit more accountability, we take a deeper dive on the budget in July when it's over, I think we can do even better than what we're doing right now. And that's my hope. Everybody in this room wants what's best for the students and the taxpayers. I think there's a better way to do it, and that's all I'm advocating for.
I appreciate that comment. And I think, as we discussed yesterday, we're going to have the commissioner staff and the presidents really think about what the timing of this could look like and how we improve on it. I also want to second what Regent Marquardt said. I mean, the best opportunity to really understand the budgets is are these deep dives that we're doing on campus, and I think that's been a big improvement for those who participated in that process.
Could I just ask, I know Regents, I know we have busy lives and everything, but I think when these kind of things are being discussed, I think it would be appropriate to invite Regents that are interested to be a part of those discussions. I think that would help those that are interested understand it a little bit more. And I really think it's okay to invite Regents in some of these discussions when you're talking about that. So.
Very good. We're chewing into our committee time. We're going to bring back, I think we do need, however, to determine if there are changes that anybody wants to propose to specific changes to specific proposals. We need to hear that from you this morning, because we're going to vote on that this afternoon, and this is the opportunity really to discuss and debate it. And I think that's really the centerpiece of what this meeting is all about. And if we have to push committee time, we'll have to push it. But are there any, think through each of the presentations we heard yesterday, are there any specifically that anybody would like to discuss further or make or propose that we amend?
Mr. Chair?
No, I'm talking about the percentage increases. Okay. I think we've had a lot of discussion about process, and I think we can continue to improve the process. But we have to make decisions, because this plane's taking off, and we have to make sure we fulfill a statutory obligation. Yes, Regent Dutta.
Chair Simmons, I'm living in Utah for the last 30 years. I'm very proud of the institutions that we have and the service that they are providing to the community, but I do struggle with the request for increase in tuition as I compare costs associated with the full-time students per student, how much we are spending. Everyone is talking about we are one of the lowest tuition amongst our peer institutions. I agree with that. However, we have to look at the entire amount that is being spent per student. One of the names that was mentioned yesterday was University of Oregon. I look at the amount that they are spending, including their state appropriation as well as tuition. The tuition number that was put up on the board was $11,989. And that is available on their website as well. On their state appropriation, they are getting only $5,900 per student. If I add those two up, the numbers are very different. At the U, we do spend a lot more than what University of Oregon is spending. How do we justify that? And I struggle with asking the students to pay more in this year when economy has been well for the state. We are doing great. All the students that came out of this university or any other higher education institution are contributing towards our state's economy, doing well. And now we are asking those students to contribute more in these good times. I struggle with that. And that is a struggle, I guess. I would like to ask institutions to look again and see what they can do to alleviate this problem for the students. Around the country, every time there is an article in newspapers, national newspapers, they talk about increasing cost, the burden on the students. The legislature stepped up, the taxpayers stepped up. I would really love to see the institutions step up a little, improve some efficiencies, and give benefit to the students. And that would be my ask. And I really am struggling with supporting some of the increases that have been asked. And I really appreciate what I think there is a $0 increase at SUU. I really appreciate that. Amazing. How do we get to the same number for all the institutions? Some institutions are growing a lot, and I agree they need more, but there are institutions that are not growing as fast. And if our growth rate is under 2% in terms of student enrollment, why is the ask more than that in tuition increase or expenditure increase? There are economies of scale. Just because the enrollment went up from 30 students per class to 31, we are not exactly starting a new section. So I'm struggling with this, and I would really like to see a little less increase or no increase if possible.
Do you have a comment, President Watkins?
I just wanted to say respectfully, there are some very big differences across institutions that make it difficult to do a comparison like you just did with Oregon. They do not have health sciences at the University of Oregon. That's all at Oregon Health Sciences. They don't have engineering. They're a very strong institution in the humanities, which are lower cost programs. So I think when you look at the investment of the state, you have to look at the programs that they're offering and what their state is asking them to do. In our case, the state is asking us to produce engineers and scientists and health professionals to meet the needs of the state.
Thank you. Yes, Regent Clark.
As I looked at the process, obviously it's not perfect, but I feel like we've had these hearings where the public could come and express their opinion, where students could come and express their opinion. We've had the involvement of the various student councils at the institutions. We've had the trustees that have met and discussed. I mentioned that Regent Jones and I last Friday spent pretty well the whole day at Dixie, and even though Dixie has a higher number there, after listening to the student body president give his presentation to the trustees, after listening to the trustees discuss the situation and what's going on in that area, and after listening to the presentations yesterday, no, it's not perfect, but I think these are reasonable increases. I think that there has been a lot of work put into this, and we could talk here about a group and how many days or how many hours we're going to spend looking at budgets, and maybe we ought to do that more detailed, but I think we have to have some confidence in the system and how it works and all the people that have been involved in it and all the effort that's been put forth in this. And I think it's, you know, for us to say, well, this is too high. I think they've gone through and justified why they want to have these increases. I don't think any of us have any bills that aren't increasing each year, whether it be our utility bill, our trash collection bill, our, you know, if you go through and look at what the cost of, I mean, right now, the demand for employees is there's a higher demand, and prices are going up in our area. We're not as affordable as we used to be because of the economic growth that we've had, and these colleges and universities have similar increases that, I mean, they, to be competitive and keep the
the employees and the teachers and the professors and that we have. We've got to continue to give raises. We've got to continue to give benefits. It costs more for health care this year than it did last year. I think these are reasonable numbers. I don't think they're out of sight. I know we've received a lot of money from the legislature, but there's a lot of needs in this higher education system. And quite frankly, if you look at the numbers of what we're doing in our system, and you look at the cost comparisons of other institutions around, we're doing a very good job, in my opinion. And so I think we need to move forward and support this. And is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. Could there be a number tweaked here and there? Possibly. But I think, based on the presentations yesterday, our presidents and those that work with them in the administration, they have worked. They've talked about, hey, there was a group that wanted to that submitted this and wanted this added in. And we said, no, we can't do it at this time. But I think they've been very reasonable on what they put forward. I think they're all justified. Is it perfect? No. Can we do better? Yes. Can we cut our costs? Probably. But right now, I think we're doing a pretty good job, and I think we need to move forward on it.
Yes, I echo what Regent Clyde just said. I think that, you know, the system of higher education in Utah is, I think, the most efficient in terms of the dollars invested for the number of degrees that we're producing. So we have an excellent system of higher education. I agree, improvements could be made. There are probably new ways that could be done, and we'll continue to look for those. But importantly, on the issue of access and affordability, I think this has been a high priority for the region, something that we're all very committed to. And a lot of work has been done. The Salt Lake Community College Promise and Dreamweaver have been, you know, that other schools have similar programs as well, have been hugely instrumental in allowing the access to a college-level education that hasn't been there before, and that's with private dollars and some public dollars. And I think Darren Owens' bill this year is just a major step in the right direction, that we can say to every student, or the goal is to say to every student in the state of Utah, we're going to make this affordable for you. And there are a number of ways of doing it, and being efficient with spending money is definitely part of it, and keeping tuition reasonable increases reasonable is definitely part of it. But there's a lot we can do to make it so every student in the state can afford to go to post-secondary education, and the steps are already, we've taken major steps down the road to do that, and there's a few more steps that need to be taken, but I think we're on the right track, and I think these increases are reasonable, and we should accept them as presented.
I think I'm just going to echo what I'm hearing at these last two comments. I appreciate that. But I also appreciate the counter argument that we're hearing. And I think that's what's driven this conversation that's been so valuable. And when I look at, I've been most impressed when I look at what's happened in the last year. I mean, think of last year, our tuition hearings and where we come and what the process. And we're hearing a lot about how great it was for the students or the trustees or the presidents. It was personally great for me as a regent because I've never had this conversation all the years at this level, and I really appreciate that opportunity, and I think we're all going to be more effective in our roles, whatever that mantle is we hold as we have these conversations. And as I hear the presidents, I really appreciate that the center is the student success, the completion, the accessibility, and we know that that transcends into the workplace and jobs, and I think that's what we're trying to do. So I really champion what's being done. I'm excited at the opportunity for the process to improve, and it sounds like we have great ways to do that. We didn't control the funding of the legislatures this year, and it wasn't necessarily a system win for us in our goals and our priorities, but we're dealing with that, and then we were funded in lots of ways, and institutions have a lot of successes, but I think we can improve that as we go forward. So I appreciate the conversation and the opportunity and the process improvements.
I think this has been a great discussion. It is complex. I mean, one of the things that's striking me is even with a 0% tuition increase, SUU is getting the largest increase in terms of new revenue because of what's happening with the state. And so it, if I'm reading it right, this is the 8.14% on your slide. And so we've got, there is sort of this disconnect, I think, that is what you're trying to identify here, Thomas, and I think that is something that we really do need to kind of rethink this process. I think it's been a great first step, much better process than we've had before, but we've got a little ways to go in terms of thinking about how we get, you know, how we sequence all of this and get to the best result possible. So,
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Might I make one more comment? One of my thoughts is something that was teed up by President Heftalen this morning, and that is, I think, our renewed duty to educate the public in general about the value of higher education. I really think that's at the crux of the problem that we have. We have a very conservative state, which in many respects is good. However, when it comes to understanding the priorities and the value of something like higher education, we have a lot of work to do. Generally, legislators, and either they should be or they are, responsive to their constituencies. And until our constituencies step up to the plate a little bit more vocally, letting their legislators know that, in fact, this is a high priority for them, that our economic success depends on that, and our family success depends on it. Until that happens, I think we'll probably keep battling about having tuition subsidize maybe what might be a state responsibility, more so than it is right now.
Just one more really quick. Maybe our response to somebody who complains about our tuition is our first question would be, did you attend the truth and taxation hearing, truth and tuition hearing that was held in your area? I think that would be, people should be encouraged to go to that more if they're really concerned about it.
Well, I really appreciate this discussion, and as an institutional president, I welcome these kinds of discussions. The more transparency, the more accountability, and nearly every time I get an opportunity to explain to people what this program is or what this effort is or how we're spending our money, I benefit from it, and I believe that they do. I would like to spread the understanding. I think it's very, very important. Secondly, I would say that I'm going to state the obvious. The lion's share of what we do as institutions, regardless of whether we're the smaller college or the largest university, is personnel related. And as we speak of a program, sooner or later, almost all of those issues are going to get back to personnel, delivering services, instruction, student support, and so forth. And so I think this process has been very, very healthy. I think the opportunity to show even more, I've been in public education where I was a superintendent and held not tuition hearings, but taxpayer hearings, truth in taxation, where the public comes and talks. And some people come in very upset, but if we have a decent rationale and if we're accountable, we can easily show them, and most people leave with a better understanding, even if there's a disagreement. And so I would encourage the regents and, of course, the presidents, but as president, I think this is a healthy process and would welcome any and more opportunities to show what we're doing, because there's a greater understanding that comes along with it, and it helps us, I think.
Regent Wright.
Just given the fact that we haven't had a chance to look at the budgets, I know that costs increase. I deal with that in my business. I deal with that in my personal life, and that is a good That is something that's good to acknowledge, but a lot of money has gone into the system, and I think it would just be helpful for us to take this great process that we've improved. A year ago was my first tuition meeting as a regent, and that was highly uncomfortable. The Tier 1, Tier 2 thing was highly uncomfortable. It was highly disturbing, and we as a board did something about that. We changed it, and look how far we've come. And now we're having these great conversations, and I think it's worth taking it just one step further this year on two fronts. One, I made the point yesterday, and I'll give you my 2 points, but I made the point yesterday at the beginning of the meeting. I don't think we're obligated statutorily to deal with tuition right this second. I think we have the flexibility to deal with it when we feel the time is right and when we're ready. And so, number one, could we take a week or two and do a deeper dive on some of these budgets to really understand where the money went last year? Because we got a huge appropriation from the legislature last year. I think it was $60 million. And see where those taxpayer dollars went. Ping that against where we are now and see what we can do to hold the students harmless, to make it easier for them to afford higher education and keep that student debt down. That's number one. And number two is so that's stopping and having the process, having the discussion, having that deep dive on the budget discussion. And then two, just allowing us the opportunity to get with the institution presidents and go talk to the state legislature. It's my understanding that there's $1.1 billion in education right now that's going to be dealt with in a special session. And I don't know what the legislative plans are. I'm not putting them on the spot. They were elected to do a job, and they've been doing a good job. But if we haven't done as deep a dive as we could have done to see where the money went and to understand the budgets, which no regent here has seen the budgets as far as I know. I haven't seen them. We ought to take a week or two more to do that, knowing that the institutions are going to need the money quickly. We don't have to delay. And then talk to the legislature and make a plea and make a pitch. For Salt Lake Community College, for example, our community college should be the gateway for the underserved communities, people that really can't afford it. It would be so hard for me today to vote for a tuition increase for a student who probably can't already afford it. And I'm not disputing that the institution may need the money. How can I do that to somebody who parents probably never went to higher education? They probably don't have the money as it is. They probably are terrified and scared to death. And I'm going to sit here today and vote to raise their tuition knowing two things. We haven't looked at the budget to see where the money went last year. And two, we haven't gone to the legislature to talk about the interim session where there's $1.1 billion that may be able to help them. So that would be my plea, is I don't think it has to happen right this second.
I think, look, just for process sake, if you want to put it in the form of a motion, we'll vote on it. But I don't know quite how to deal with it otherwise. Think about that for a moment, Regent Larson.
Thank you. Thomas, or Regent Wright, I hear you. And as we're talking about these conversations, I know the amount of time each of these university presidents have put in educating their students, because I've talked to each student body president about the time they've put in educating themselves and educating their students. There can be conversations about more transparency. There can be conversations about looking about where the money is going and being more accountable as us as regents and this board. But right this moment, we've got students who need to go to school. We have students that need this education, and we've got institutional presidents, and this is their answer. I don't want to sacrifice our quality right this moment because we need more information, because I do trust our university presidents have provided that and have that internally. So from our student perspective, I believe that our students need this increase to continue the quality of education, to continue the professors, the all of the employees that our universities provide. So right now, from the student perspective, our student body presidents have really looked at this, and I think that they're very supportive, and we can talk about transparency, in my opinion, moving forward.
Okay, thank you.
Just one, I trust the university presidents, I trust the institutions, and I trust the board of trustees, but I also believe that our responsibility is to verify what we've been given, and until we've done that, I don't think we've fulfilled the obligation that we've committed to.
Commissioner Henry. Associate Commissioner Henry.
Thank you. With respect to information about budgets, so we have not finished FY19. So we are still spending money, so money will still be spent. In your agenda packet, then the information items for the Finance and Facilities Committee, there is a review, and it's called the 2018 Financial Statement Review. The last page of that review includes a look at how the institutions have spent their FY17 dollars versus their FY18 dollars. It outlines it with respect to instruction and other categories. I would encourage you to take a look at that. That should give you some sense about where the dollars are being spent or have been spent. This is a normal, the dollars, when the institutions receive additional dollars, we do not see a lot of deviation from the way they spend their money. So this should give you a general sense of how the dollars go through that. So it's in tab O, and it's going to be one of the last pages of the spreadsheet attachment, and it shows you by institution, by category of expense, how the previous 2 years have been spent, but it does not show FY19, but I can assure you that you will not see a big deviation from that expenditure pattern, because institutions are just, that's the way that they spend their money. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of insight into the budget conversation about how dollars are being spent. But with respect to actual expenditures associated for FY19, we're still 3 months away from the end of FY19, so we're monitoring that as we go. So thank you.
Okay. We need to get on to our committee meetings too. Let me tell you what there's going to be a three-part motion that's a substitute for what you find under, I think it's tab U, in your materials with respect to tuition. I'm going to just read this to you so that you can know what's going to be coming. And if we have any changes we want to propose, I'll entertain any specific motions with respect to amending how this resolution will be framed. And maybe we take – yeah, why don't we – yeah, let's just pass it around. That'll be easier. For those who won't have a copy of this, it's going to be a three-part motion. The first part is to approve the institution's proposed resident undergraduate tuition rate adjustments, really as they were presented yesterday. The second part of the motion would be to approve the institution's proposed non-resident, undergraduate, graduate resident, and non-resident tuition schedules as submitted to the Commissioner's Office for the 2019-20 year, to be used for the purposes outlined in tab U of our agenda, and finally to approve the University of Utah new online-only tuition and fee schedule. So, again, for the sake of expediency this afternoon, so that we don't find ourselves relitigating the matter this afternoon as we're trying to finish up, that's the proposal that will be before us. And again, if there are specific motions anybody would like to make, I think it would be appropriate to hear those now and debate them and see if we come to any we can take votes on them, I believe. We're in open session, so we can take votes on them to amend the resolution that will be presented to us.
As a straw poll, the item for action is agenda for this afternoon. So you wouldn't adopt this till the second.
To get a sense
of where the board is.
I'm thinking of it as an amendment to the resolution that will then be voted on this afternoon. Let me open up the floor and see if there are any motions to amend the proposed resolutions that we'll see this afternoon. What's been passed around, we're missing Snow College. That will be added to the resolution this afternoon with a 2.5% increase. So I'll open up the floor to any specific motions. And President Cockett, comment?
Can I ask for a modification? On ours, it's USU Eastern and USU Blanding. at 4.2%.
Understood. I think we'll take that by.
All right. Thanks.
Proclamation.
I don't know if it's appropriate to ask for some input on taking a little bit more time for those two items I discussed, doing a deeper dive on the budget, and talking to the legislature before we go back for the students. I don't know, but
if make a motion, we'll debate it for a moment. And
well, I've wrestled with this for a long time, and I don't want to come across as flippant on it. It's so important, and I take the responsibility seriously. I just feel like without those two things, I don't know that we have enough substantiation to justify the increases. And so it would make me feel better if we had a little bit more time. And I'd be happy to make the motion. But I don't want to spring that on the board. I would love to hear just what some people think about it.
So we can talk about it. We can discuss that for a moment. Okay. So that the motion would be to extend the process for another couple of weeks, something like that. Any discussion? Yes.
Well, I appreciate everything you said. I at this time would not be in favor of your motion. I just know, hearing from President Mortensen and the timing that he has with his tuition and stuff, I think doing that would put our institutions in a situation that I personally am comfortable doing this year. I would really hope that we really can address some of these concerns, and so next year will be a better process.
Yes, Regent Gibson.
Maybe by way of question, I'd like to hear from the institutional presidents if they feel like the time that they have had and the data that they've been given has been adequate to come up with what they've proposed. I was very impressed with the presentations yesterday. Obviously, it was, you know, everyone was prepared and had worked with their people very extensively, but I think if they feel like they haven't had enough time or enough information to make these proposals, I think that'd be good to know at this point with the motion.
Any feedback from presidents? Oh, President Williams.
Oh, I guess I got first.
Oh.
I think my tables showed right down to the dollar amount which units would get the money if the tuition increase was approved. I do want to point out that even then it's a projection, because let's just suppose I have fewer students enrolled next fall. I wouldn't collect all that money. So we actually don't implement those positions effective July 1st. But mine are very, very specific which units would get the money. And I do want to point out that salary compensation request, those do start July 1st, and they are actually, you know, in the system. Once we knew what the 2.5% increase was, then that's been built in. If the tuition dollars don't come in to put that 25% money on those salaries, that's effectively a budget cut, and we will need to go back and remove that money from another budget line.
I won't ditto to that, but also I feel like as an institution, although we're waiting for the legislative session to end, we are constantly monitoring that, and we have adequate time to look at that, and we're down to the penny and the dollar, and as the other presidents have and will articulate, there are things that happen right on July 1st that will have a detrimental effect if we extend that timeline.
I would just want to add to that. We start the conversation and planning about tuition and enrollment in the fall of the preceding year. So this, we have had quite a lot of time and refinement as this moves along. There's another reason why it's quite important for us to know now, even today, tomorrow, where we're going on tuition, because we have, I believe it's a week from tomorrow, Red, White, and You, where there's 3,000 or 4,000 people that come to Huntsman Arena that are prospective students for next fall with their parents, and we need to be able to tell them this is what your tuition will be. They're in the final weeks of making their decisions about where they're going to go next fall, really right now. So it's kind of important for us to be able to say this is what tuition is going to be next year as we finish up the recruitment process for this year.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Regent Dotta, did you? President Tominis, yep.
Thank you. So I think, again, for as far as process at Utah Valley University, this has been a process since I started the job September 17. I would say easily, I don't know, tens of hours, maybe 100 hours spent on planning, budget assessment, tuition increase, watching what the legislature will do, public hearings. At this point in time, UVU is really happy where we are. I don't want to change the 1.7% increase. That's actually less than what we publicized we would increase. So it's great for our students. We're pretty confident that we're going to continue to grow. And so we've looked at all the items and just at cabinet level, our last three or four of our cabinet meetings, about 12 hours total, after the previous processes have already been done. So we are now at this point in time where I don't anticipate huge changes unless this body doesn't approve it, and then we have to go do something else completely different and start over.
Chairman Simmons, I'm pretty certain this motion is not going to pass in this body. However, having some concerns about the increases that have been asked for, I am going to second the motion.
I think he teed it up for discussion before he actually made the motion.
Okay.
So just getting in clarification.
I think, too, I appreciate all the president's input, and again, I admire the work they do, and I know the process that they have been through, and I think the process they have been through has been great, so I concur with them. I think I was more addressing the process that the regents have been through. We haven't done the deep dive on the budget. We haven't looked and seen specifically where the money went from last year, so I appreciate what the presidents are saying, and I want you presidents to know I was not questioning what you have done in your processes. I'm focused on the process that I'm a part of, and that's the regent process, just for a point of clarification.
Right. Do you want to make a motion? And I'm just trying to understand kind of where we're...
Well, there may be somebody else in here that wants to make a motion. I won't hog the time, but I did want to hear what others had to say, and I don't know if there's any other regents that have any thoughts on that. But.
Any other thoughts from regents? President Mortensen, did you have a comment? No. Go ahead.
At the risk of, I should look in the data book, Kimberly, and see how many employees there are in the system, but at the risk of saying what I did yesterday, which is true, we have processes in place as far as enrollment. We have open enrollment for our employees starting April 9th, and that's dependent on tuition increases being in place and all this. At the same time, though, you know, if the board needs more time to make this decision, we'll figure it out. It wouldn't be the biggest tragedy that ever happened in the world. And, you know, we want to be transparent. We want, we want this to be an informed decision for the board. It's important. The other thing, you know, these are all sticker price numbers, really. They're not very few people pay this. We've set aside, and I think some other schools have set aside money for need-based financial aid to help the students who are the most needy out of the proposed increases. So it's a bit of a straw man that we ask you all to make these big weighty decisions on and get covered in the newspaper and everything else, and it's hard to get all of the details wrapped around, but if the board needs more time, you know, I'm willing to help make that work.
And also, we could easily get you, I've looked at this tab that Kimberly provides. Yes, that's what we give you. She But we have very, very detailed spreadsheets. I can show you the one I just showed my two colleagues here from last year. We can show you which units, what positions were created. I mean, we're talking like special education faculty lines, 60,000 salary, you know, 30,000 benefits. We can show you library got $25,000 ongoing operating. I mean, we can get you that from last year. And then this year, we can do it again, like I said, after July 1st, you know, once we know what's happening here plus the legislature. So if you would like to see that kind of detail to give yourself assurance that we, you know, do what we say we were doing, we can easily get that with you, I would say, within a week. And if that would help. And I'm just going to say, to follow up with Brad, yes, we can do this. We want you to feel certain of what you're saying. And it's a fluid process for us, though, even for then next year, what we said happened. But if you folks would keep a running book on this, that would also, I think, be really good for you, because you don't want to do this in a vacuum. You want to remember what we did the year before and the year to come.
I appreciate both the supportive comments, and you know, we were asked last year to review this process a little bit more in detail, make it more transparent, and you know, we have done a great job as a group here. Everything is lot more transparent from what I understand. This is my first year, what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing. We have a lot more transparency this year. I again request, if we have some time, maybe we can look at a possibility of revising the numbers lower and having a look at it again with a little more data. I would really appreciate it. It is not that we have.
I'm going to ask you to put it in the form of a motion. If you're at making a request, could I ask you to make that in the form of a motion?
I'll move it. I know I'm sure, not sure if we'll have a second, but I would move it. That,
okay. No, I think that's okay. I want everybody to feel comfortable. We're all friends. This isn't, we're all on the same team.
Yes, we are all friends with difference in opinion. So
my challenge is to try to keep us moving ahead as a group and trying to turn a lot of opinions into one. But so we have a motion to...
For additional information and maybe a week time.
For additional budget information, is that...
maybe a request for revision. Downward revision and
a request for revision. Okay. So we have a motion. Is there a second to the motion? Okay. We have a second to her motion from Regent Wright. Is there any further discussion? Yes.
I guess I reluctantly have a comment. We're kind of talking in circles here a little bit. I so appreciate the willingness of some of us to spend the next couple of weeks poring over arcane spreadsheets and so forth to get to that place. You know, I personally, I feel like we're moving this decision-making process in a very healthy direction. My sense is that it's too late to be changing the trajectory of this decision making now, but we're going to do this again next year and the next year and the next year. I'm with you, Thomas, that those tuition increases are ominous. They are just intensely accretive. $250 a year, year in, year out. 5 years from now, you know, we've got another $1,000 on tuition. 5 more years after that, it's another $1,000 in tuition. At some point in time, we're trying to do some catching up in the system here. We really need to think very carefully about that. I would love to take Thomas off the chain and send him into the legislature to get some of that that $1 billion that they're going to be reevaluating instead of, you know, instead of these tuition increases. I think I agree that I would way rather have it come from the state than from these students. That one thing that they keep speaking to my mind is in these truth and tuition hearings, there was a stunning silence from the student bodies about this issue. I only attended one of them, but there was, you know, there were a couple of polite questions, but there was no pushing back on the amount. And I expect it's because the kids that are most affected by this aren't showing up at those hearings because they're at work someplace, but also because maybe President Mortensen, they're also getting some additional help that is softening the burden of these things. So I'm not going to support the motion as much as I'm supportive of the notion, simply because I feel like we're trying to close on a house, and we're down to signing the final documents, and we're entering into a conversation about monetary policy at the Fed. We're just too far down the road to be trying to change some of those things that can be addressed next year, and maybe we can get an improved process next year. Thank you for your patience.
May I add a data point on the student burden? So at UVU, 42% of our students get financial aid, on average about $5,700, and 11% get federal loans and grants of about $7,700. So just to, again, because this, Brad said that's the sticker price, well, we are running as fast as we can and working as hard as we can to actually alleviate the burden for students, and I think there will be numbers from the other universities along those lines too.
Thank you.
And
Regent,
really, we
Prince.
Are not that expensive, really. We are not. It's, I don't know.
Regent Prince.
Excellent discussion. Dr. Cockett just shared with me that spreadsheet that she mentioned a moment ago. She has some great detail and indicated that all of the presidents have that same sort of detail that can be given to us. In fairness to these great presidents, who I have absolute confidence in their process that they've gone through and in their being frugal and trying to do more with less, we've got to give them better instructions on what sort of detail we're going to be asking for. I agree with what Regent Lund said. We're kind of down to the 11th hour here. We've got to move forward, and so I don't believe I could be supporting that motion, even though I think it's an excellent idea to consider this going forward.
Thank you very much. Any other discussion before we call the question? Not, I'll call the question. All of those in favor of the motion, say aye. Any all those opposed?
No.
No. Okay, the motion fails. And with that, unless we have any other specific motions to alter the resolution that we've distributed to you that will be presented this afternoon, I'll entertain that before we adjourn to our committee meetings. Are there any specific motions to change specific elements of this resolution that will be so I'm not talking about the whole resolution, I'm talking about how it's framed and the specific elements of it. We'll make the change with respect to USU. Yeah.
And Snow College.
Yeah. If not, if we have a motion to adjourn to our committee meetings. All right. We don't need a motion. We're going to come back.
Do you want to just kind of give the?
So we're going to.
Oh, yeah, we're upstairs.
We're going to go to our committee meetings, and we're going to have to shorten our committee meetings. We'll do those until meeting committee until noon. And so, committee chairs, are we going to ask you to really shorten things up? We'll have lunch from noon until 12:30, and then we'll resume here in this room.
Okay.
Thanks.
Discussion.
discussion.